The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, kids. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to John chapter 14. I want to talk this morning in something that will be most helpful in seven ways in which Christ is the way. Seven ways in which Christ is the way. Look at John chapter 14 again, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now here's Thomas coming back in verse 5, and notice what Thomas says. "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then our Lord comes back to answer Thomas, and he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You hear me say that last verse often around here when I'm giving a gospel invitation for a person to come and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, where Jesus emphatically states, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We understand, according to the Bible, there is only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's not many ways. It's not Jesus and another way. It's not one, two, three, four, or five ways. There's only one way. Now, I'm going to tell you, either you go God's way or you do not go at all. Amen. It is not Jesus Christ and baptism. It's not Jesus Christ and being good. It's not Jesus Christ and keeping one of the seven sacraments. It's not Jesus Christ and being someone that's a member of an affiliate type of church that affiliates with some bigger organization, whether it would be in the name of Baptist or whether it would be in the name of Presbyterian or whether it would be in the name of Church of Christ or whether it would be in the name of Christian Science or whether it would be in the name of Mormon or Jehovah Witness or Catholic or Muslim. No. We're not talking about a religious persuasion this morning. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we understand this, that there is only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so a person either has Jesus Christ or they do not have Jesus Christ. I mean, that's all it is to it. You know, a person says, "Well, I'm religious." Well, it doesn't matter. There's going to be a lot of religious people burning in hell one day, and it doesn't matter what their religious association or their affiliation or their tag is. It is Christ and Christ only. Here in the Bible, we see that God gives. And I tried to do a thorough Bible study on this last night as I was studying, but I saw that there are seven different types of ways that God shows in the Scripture. And so with that, I want to speak this morning on seven ways in which Christ is the way. In other words, it's not any other way, it's just the way, and here's one of those seven ways. And let me give them to you this morning. I promise that I will stay within my allotted time. I know that we have bus routes, and you know, here at our church, we are so very privileged to be able to have so many different Sunday school classes and so many different type of divisions. I know Dr. Ray Young was a tremendous help to me a couple weeks ago or so when he passed by, and we were able to sit down for a span of 2+ hours and to be able to try to look at ways that we could accommodate more people with our Sunday school limited amount of space. And then we started a C Sunday school program. And so now we have an A Sunday school program, we have a B Sunday school program, and we have a C Sunday school program. And though we're kind of spread out on a Sunday morning and we have 11 other services being done even right now as I speak, can I tell you, when you come together under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, there is nothing like that. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be able to sit under God's Word and allow God's Word to be able to speak to our hearts and to change our hearts. And so let me give you seven ways in which Christ is the way. I'm going to give you some statements. Statement number one, he says that he's the way to pardon. Look at Acts chapter 10 or listen to it in verse 43. The latter portion of that verse says this, "Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's a pardon. So it is Jesus Christ that gives the pardon. And by the way, he's the only one, yea, only way a person gets pardoned. There's not two ways. There's not two pathways in order to be pardoned. There is only one pathway to be pardoned, and that is the pathway of Jesus Christ. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, he washes away my sin. He gives me a complete pardon. Now, by the way, you have to be willing to receive him. We was out door knocking yesterday, and as I was out door knocking yesterday, can I tell you, I came across some people that did not want to receive that pardon. I came across other people that was very open and very receptive to that which is a pardon. Receiving the pardon is a choice. I'm reminded of a case that came before the Supreme Court in 1833. And the Supreme Court was called upon because there was a lower court that just did not know what to do. There was a felon that was convicted. His name was George Wilson, and George Wilson was sentenced to death because he had been a part of a robbery from the United States Mail. And so he was sentenced to death. There was a president back then, Andrew Jackson, that issued him a full pardon. But the problem was that Mr. Wilson decided he didn't want to be pardoned. He wanted to face death by hanging. And so the president sent down this pardon. He sent it down, and it was of course in writing there through the Supreme Court as it was given through that vineyard to be able to pardon him. And so, you know, Andrew Jackson, you know, he just didn't know what to do, and so he turned to that which was the Supreme Court Justice, and at that time it was Supreme Court Justice John Marshall, and said, "Well, what do you do when you try to issue somebody a pardon and they don't want the pardon?" And Supreme Court Justice John Marshall said this, "A pardon is a deed of which delivery is essential. The delivery is not complete unless it is without exception accepted. It may be rejected by the person who it is tendered towards, but if rejected, then it has no power of recourse to be able to give that person freedom. Freedom cannot be forced." Now, can I tell you that that is very true? You can go out and you can give somebody that which is the freedom of understanding that in Jesus Christ you have eternal life, but freedom cannot be forced. You can go out, and there's been many times when I have been standing in somebody's apartment or I've been sitting on somebody's couch and I want them to be saved so bad that tears begin to come out of my eyes, and I begin to be heartbroken because they've not understood or they've not been willing to accept the pardon that is found in Jesus Christ. But there's nothing that you can do about that. I remember when mom and daddy were not saved, and I began to pray for mom and daddy to be saved, and I would fast every Friday through my Bible college years that mom and daddy would get saved, and mom and daddy would get saved, and mom and daddy would get saved. And I was very earnestly asking God to save them. And I tried everything within my power. Everything within my power. I mean, I tried everything within my power to make sure that they had a clear presentation of the gospel, to make sure that without any error on my part, that I would give full disclosure of why they needed Christ as their Savior. I mean, I went even to the ridiculous rim. Back in those days, we had the milkman. I don't know if they did that here in Texas, but where I was raised in Maryland, we lived out in the country area, and it was on Maple Grove Road where I grew up, 3707 Maple Grove Road. And on Maple Grove Road where I grew up many years ago, we had a milkman that came through. We also had an eggman that came through, and we had a milk case on the front porch, and they would deliver milk. And you could regulate when he would come and whatnot, but he would deliver milk, and it was always delivered in that which was a glass bottle. Can I tell you, those glass bottles were excellent adhesives to be able to hold gospel tracts. And so I wanted Mom and Daddy to be safe so bad that I would put a gospel tract on the outside of that glass milk jug, and when they would open the door of the refrigerator, there was a track that was facing them that said, if you were to die right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? I mean, I went, honestly, really overboard, but it was because my heart wanted them to be saved so much. I wanted to keep the gospel in front of them to the point that really Dad got fed up about it, and he said, you know, you're pushing this down my throat, and I don't want anything about that. And I had to apologize and back off and go a different route. But then later on, Mama did get saved, and later on, Daddy did get saved. But I remember all the things that I did, and I was trying to help them to see that in Jesus Christ, they can be pardoned. Because he is the only one that can grant pardon. You can go to a religious ceremony if you want to. You can graduate from a theology school if you want to. You can have all the accolades that are hoisted upon you because of your religious understanding. But it doesn't matter the depth of your religious understanding. If you've not been pardoned in Jesus Christ, there is no hope of eternity in heaven. We understand this, that Jesus said, I'm the way. He's the way to pardon. Statement number two, he's the way to peace. There's nobody that can give peace like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so through Jesus Christ, we can have absolute peace that things are going to be okay. Abraham Lincoln was a very studious type of lawyer, and of course, when he first started practicing his law firm, he was a lawyer for the railroad, and all of a sudden, there was somebody that was in his particular field back in 1858 that was getting ready to go on trial, and he had nobody to represent him, and he was a friend of the family, and so Mr. Lincoln stood up, and he said, well, I will agree to be able to represent this man. So he represented this man, and there was a man by the name of Charles Allen that testified against this fellow and accused Mr. Armstrong of killing a guy by the name of James Metzger, and accused that he had killed him in an alley. And Mr. Lincoln went back, and he looked at the almanac that was there about a year prior as this was coming up to trial, and he noticed that the almanac said that that the moon that night was only shining a quarter, not a full moon, whereby you could not see as this witness was giving witness against this man, as Mr. Allen that testified said, I saw him kill that man, but he was standing 150 yards away. There's no way that you could see that distance with that moon not being lit to the degree that this man would need the lightage to see. And of course, the man was acquitted. Now, can I tell you, when that man was acquitted, there was great peace. There was great peace. But can I also tell you, you have a lawyer that has never lost a case. Do you understand tonight that you have, this morning that you have representation in Jesus Christ? Do you understand tonight that when the judgment, if it were to be passed upon you, that Jesus Christ is the one that's our mediator between God and men? He is the man, Christ Jesus. I was so happy when I got saved, and after I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I was just so happy that I did not have to go to a confessional booth anymore and be able to utter the sins that I committed to a man that had no power to forgive sins whatsoever. But I was so happy when I came across that verse that said there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and that I could go directly to Jesus Christ and I could have my sins forgiven. And can I tell you that Jesus Christ is the one that gives peace. He's the one that gives peace. There's a preacher friend of mine, and he went through a horrendous storm, and it was bouncing everywhere, and people are getting all panicky, and of course, the pilot is coming on and giving vital instructions and saying it's time to buckle up, and you need to buckle up now, because if you don't buckle up now and the plane goes down, it might be a tragedy. And of course, everybody's panicking and whatnot, and somebody turned to this preacher who was very calm, and collected, had all of his emotions gathered, and said, "How come you're not nervous?" He said, "Because God has not given me dying grace yet." And can I tell you, for the believer, there is great peace even during the time that there might be destruction that faces everybody else and they have nobody to turn to. I'd rather be a saved man and go to the dentist than a lost man. I'd rather be a saved man and go through a crash than a lost man. I'd rather be a saved man and having some difficulty facing me in life than being a lost man. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have somebody to draw from that is my strength, that is my mentor, that is the one that can help me to be able to make it through all diversity and all different types of complicated problems, and that one person is Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way," and he talks about pardon. He says, "I am the way," and he talks about peace. He says, "I am the way," and he talks about holiness. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible says, "And he gave himself for us that we might that he might redeem us from all iniquity," and it says, "and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now, what does that mean? Well, holiness is when a person has a spiritual cleanliness, a purity, a sanctification of the soul, if you will. All right, so God is saying this. He's saying, "I'm going to make sure that when I come into your life, I help you to clean up." Some people have it backwards. They have what they call the cart before the horse. All of a sudden, they become quite religious, and they say, "Well, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to clean up this. I'm going to put this in proper order. I'm going to do this in this particular fashion." But can I tell you, you cannot clean up your act apart from Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. One of the greatest FBI individuals was J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, he was, they called him the Iron Fist. That's what they called him. They called him the Iron Fist. And so he was making sure that everything was done right, and he was a hard boss. But everybody that worked as an agent with the FBI wanted to make sure that they pleased the boss. And so they did everything they could under his administration to please the boss. And as they were trying to please the boss, he sent out a memo one day because everybody was trying to save money and whatnot. And the guy that was over the office supply had decided that he was going to get these memos that did not have borders. And so this little bitty memo came to Hoover's desk. And as it came to Hoover's desk, he became very upset about that. So he sent back to the supply room that we don't want that to happen ever again. Watch your borders. Well, that note did not make it to the supply room, but it made it to the memo station. And so a memo got sent out to all the FBI agents, watch your borders. So now all of a sudden, all the FBI agents are deployed to all the borders of America because there was a memo from the boss that said, "Watch your borders." And can I tell you that we have memos from the God of heaven that instructs us as believers that there's some borders that you and I need to pay attention to. There are some things in the Christian life that you and I ought not to endorse, ought not to be involved in, because God has given us some borders to be able to walk therein, and those borders are able, you know, I had a farm when I was coming up, when my farm, it was my grandparents' farm, 280 acres of nothing but farmland, but we had cows, and we had some bulls. And can I tell you, we were careful about the bulls because the bulls could be quite irritated, especially if you were the one that was doing the irritating. I never will forget, we would have competition of who could outrun the bull. I never will forget that. Mr. Wise, our neighbor, also had a bull, and he was a cantankerous bull. So we practiced on him before we went over to the farm because, after all, if he broke a fence, then it wouldn't be our bull that got out. And so that's the way we looked at it back then. And so we practiced on Mr. Wise's bull. So Dave had this idea. my older brother, Dave, 6 years older than I, he said, I think that I can improve your speed in track and field. I ran the high hurdles, and you have to surface those hurdles a certain way, or your back foot will always clip it. And if you clip a hurdle during a race, you're going to go down. So the idea was, you're going to run faster when something is chasing you. So Dave said, I got an idea. Now, this is back when I was a little bit more novice. I was a little bit more, you know, I just, you know, my, you know, I just wasn't all that bright. So Dave said, hey, look, he said, you get out in front of the bull. I thought, hey, no problem. The bull was just a very quiet individual, no problem. He said, I'm going to hit the bull with a corn cob. And I'm going to hit the back of the bull with the corn cob as hard as I can. And I suggest that when I hit the bull, you run. Because if you don't run, things might not turn out well for you. He said, but I guarantee you, I will increase your speed. And so I thought, you know, hey, look, I need, Mike Wright, my coach, is always, you know, go faster, give it everything you've got. I thought, okay, hey, it sounds good because, I mean, after all, I need to increase my speed. This is going to be great. It's downhill. I'm going to beat the bull. I mean, who cannot outrun a bull? So Dave got back there with a corn cob, and he said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. He hit that, and boy, that bull started running my direction. Can I tell you, I never ran so fast in all my life. You know, sometimes you will get forced into a situation where you have to decide that you're going to get out of the way. And can I tell you, in those cases, what you don't want to do is break the borders down so that that which is coming after you has freedom to be able to continually roll over you. When it came time to jump the fence, I had no problem getting the energy to hurl over top of the fence. Matter of fact, I think I jumped it twice as high as what it was because I did not want that bull to get me. Now, can I say, listen, that's like it is with personal holiness. Don't ride the fence. Don't be an individual that has things in your life that's going to be harmful to you. Have things in your life that's going to cause, and you know it's going to, that's going to cause destruction, that's going to take you down, that's going to destroy your marriage, going to destroy your family, destroy your children. Be careful about the things that you bring in that's going to cause a contamination that is going to wreak havoc over. And by the way, you've got good common sense. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what you should be allowing. Nobody necessarily has to, draw you a picture and say, okay, now, you know, most of you have good common sense and you want to be decent and you want to be right and you want to go forward, but you've got to be careful, especially in the area of child rearing, that you practice some personal holiness in your life and in their life to the point and to the place that it causes them to thirst and hunger after righteousness. I'm saying that there are some ways. There's the way of pardon, the way of peace, the way of holiness. Let me give you just a couple more and I'm done. Seminary number four, the way of happiness. Somebody said in dealing with finances, happiness is paycheck and pension or paycheck and perks. But can I tell you, not the external happiness is the happiness or joy that God wants you to have. There's a joy that only God himself can give by way of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and Spurgeon loved to be able to teach his preacher boys, and he loved to be able to tell stories. And he told the story about Mr. Wesley, Charles Wesley, and he said, you know, Mr. Wesley got up in a sermon one time. He said, I've been falsely charged with every crime that is known to a human being that is capable except for that which is drunkenness. About that time, there was somebody in the middle of a sermon that stood up. It was a older woman, and she stood up, and with her wretched voice, she said, I saw your wife and you at the bar last night, and I saw that you had given your bands for that which is a nudgeon of whiskey. He, all of a sudden, after she sat back down with her thundering rage among the assembly, Mr. Wesley lifted his voice up to heaven and he said, "Dear God, I pray that you would relieve me of this problem." And right then, all of a sudden, there was something that took place in this lady's body, tragically, and they wound up carrying her out of the auditorium as she had a heart attack. Now, can I tell you, God knows the way to be able to help you to be happy. And it doesn't have to be based on what the world does in order to be able to get happiness. You can be happy in Christ without the liquor. You can be happy in Christ without the drugs. He's the way to happiness. Statement number five, he's the way to heaven. We talked about this a moment ago, and he is that one that provides the way. Listen to just one verse, and I'll move on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren," it says, "boldness to enter into the holiness," that's in heaven now, the Bible says, "by the blood of Jesus." And so I'm able to enter into the Holy of Holies, I'm able to get my prayers answered simply because of God, he himself. Statement number six, he's the way to God himself. Jesus Christ, the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring," it says, "us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit." All right, so wait a minute. So how is it that I'm able to come? I am quickened. Okay. Brother Craig, I'm so glad you're back, but I'll use Brother Jonathan. Brother Jonathan, lay down here, if you will. Okay, I hate to do this to your brown suit. It's nice looking. Just lay down. Face up, if you will. The Bible says before he received Jesus Christ as Savior that he was dead in trespasses and sin. Now, by the way, don't get mad at somebody that is not saved. Don't get the cart before the horse. Don't get mad at somebody that's not saved if they don't have the same belief system that you personally have, even about things. You know, as a believer, you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, as a believer. As a believer, you know there's things that you're supposed to abstain from and not take in to that which is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, yea, your body. You know that. All right? But as you deal with lost people, people that are not saved, people that do not have the indwelling of that which is the Holy Spirit of God, they have no semblance of understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So when you walk into that which is a hotel, when you walk into that which is a gas station, when you walk into a grocery mart somewhere and somebody gets angered and they spew out a curse word, understand that they're doing only what they knew to do. They've not had training. They've not had somebody to love them. They're not saved, and so they have no correctiveness of the person of the Holy Spirit of God. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, what does that mean? That means they're dead to knowing that that is a trespass or sin. They're dead to understanding that. There is no way that they understand that. You say, we ought not to do that. Well, I agree. But that doesn't mean that they won't do it. But the Bible says that when a person gets saved, that God quickens them. God makes them alive. Here we go. God makes them alive in Christ Jesus. Now, before that, they're dead. The Bible says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. Now, watch this, if you will. Okay, so here comes a person, and they're sitting in church today, and they hear the preacher preach, and they're saying, I hear the stories, I identify with the stories. And by the way, everybody likes stories. So I hear the stories, and I identify with the stories, but when it gets down to teaching that Bible, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Now, the reason it doesn't make a lot of sense to you is because the Word of God, stay with me now, is spiritually discerned. You know, as a lost person, I could pick up the Bible and read the facts. But I don't understand the Bible because the Bible is spiritually interpreted. So only the Holy Spirit, okay, go back down. All right, so here he is. He comes to church. Man of God stands up. Preacher stands up, begins to preach the Bible. And as he preaches the Bible, can I tell you, it doesn't go in. Now, he hears the stories. Yeah, that was a good story. You know, he hears a joke. Ha, ha, ha. He actually told it and it worked. You know, okay, I mean, here's all this stuff, okay, but it doesn't sink. It's like, man, did you go to church today? What'd you think? Oh, it was nice. It's nice people there. They sang songs of the old days. I mean, out of the hymn book, like the way it should be. You know, and boy, it was just so good. You know, but nothing spiritual takes place. Now, he's dead. You look at him in the pew, he's dead. He looks like he's fallen asleep, fallen out of the pew. He's yawning, mouth is half jacked open, saliva coming out. I mean, you know, eyelids are just batting downward in a downward fashion. His head is nodding. And it's not because he's saying yes because he agrees with the preacher. He's just bored. You know, it's like, wow, when is this guy ever going to get over? Can't he just say his point and us get out of here? Then all of a sudden, when he gets saved, something takes place. He becomes, here we go, he becomes alive in Christ Jesus. Now when it comes, I'm sitting right down here. Now when it comes time, right there, he sits on the edge of his seat. He sits up. He pays attention. He's excited about what the preacher's saying. He heard some things that the preacher said that he's never heard before. It's like, man, you know, this is incredible. I never saw this before. I mean, the first time I ever walked into a Baptist church, it shocked the fire out of me. I'm going to tell you why. I never saw anybody read from the Bible before. With my heritage, I was not used to that. And when the man of God got up and he said, hey, this is what the Bible says. I'm like, the Bible says? I know the Bible said anything. You know, but when he began to teach and stuff like that, can I tell you, I was hungry. I was thirsting after righteousness. I wanted to learn everything I could about this book. Because if God is the author of this book, now you stay with me, if God is the author of this book and God is the creator God and God is the one whereby he gave me life and the ability to be able to function, and I have one purpose in life, and that's to please the creator, then I've got to find out, what does the creator want me to do to please him? Doesn't matter what my friends think. Doesn't matter what the relatives think. It doesn't matter what the neighbor's doing. I've got one mission in life, and that is to please God. And whatever God says, that's what I want to do to be able to please him. So when I walked into that Baptist church on that very first Sunday, can I tell you, sitting on the edge of my seat, eyeballs protruding out past my nose, excited about the things that I might see, hear, understand, and practice, can I tell you, that is what God wants us to be. Statement number next, thank you, be seated if you would please. And that is lastly, and that is this, the way to all blessing. I'm sorry, statement number I know you want it all, so I give it to you all. But that's the way to God. I said the way to heaven through that prayer, but the way to God. Listen to this, if you will, and I'm going to get ready to close it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. It says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us, it says, to God. It says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Let me, as I was doing the study for this, I read about 1963. That was 2 years after I was born. 1963, there was a coach for Alabama by the name of Bear Bryant. He was in a dilemma. He had a guy that was a quarterback by the name of Joe Namath. He was heading towards the Super Bowl, but Joe Namath had broken a rule. Now, those that were a part of the coaching federation and those that were a part of paying Mr. Bryant's paycheck said, let him play, forget the rule. We're heading in, he's the best quarterback we've ever had, and we're going to lose the game. And that which was Bear Bryant said, no, I'm not going to break the rule. And that event of that Super Bowl and going against Mississippi, he still was suspended against what the staff said for Mr. Bryant to do, and they still won 12-7. Now, here's the reason. I believe the reason was, is because Here was an individual that needed to see that everything did not rise and fall on them. And here was a coach that said, I'm not going to compromise a rule in order for this one player just to play. It was a great lesson for that which was Joe Namath. And it was a great lesson for all those that watched. And can I tell you, God's not going to break the rule. You know, I tell you, when, in coming up very religiously in my background, I would hear this often. Well, if anybody is ever going to make it to heaven, he was going to make it to heaven. He was such a good guy. You know, he's going to make it to heaven. I preach funerals, a lot of funerals, even for people. It's not a part of our church, and I've contacted funeral homes around the area, and I say this, if you have a family that's in distress and they need somebody to come and they need somebody to preach the funeral, Just call me. I'll be glad to help out. I'll be glad to love on the family. I'll be glad to give counsel. I'll be glad to preach and glad to help any way I possibly can. You just give me a call. I've contacted the police department, and I said, you know, if you ever have somebody that's in jail, you know, that they need somebody that is going to walk beside them and help them and to be able to show them a new path that they need to take, I said, I'm your guy. You give me a call. And there's been many, many times where God has opened doors for me, especially in the funeral area, to be able to preach funerals and to be able to help. I don't even know these people. But to be able to take that opportunity, to be able to get up and to give that clear presentation of the gospel so that somebody can come to know Christ as Savior. But I can't cut corners on it. And it's not right if you cut corners. Because a person needs to understand it is Christ and Christ alone. They need to understand that. Statement number next, and I'm done. Here it is. Okay? Jesus not only is the way to pardon, the way to peace, the way to holiness, the way to happiness, the way to heaven, the way to God, but he's the way for all blessings of grace on earth and also in heaven. It's him that we should be concerned about. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the last verse I read to you, says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But it's because that is that in Christ that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. One of my favorite stories is, of course, Kate Smith. In 1938, the Nazis had certainly built a mammoth military force. Europe was now looming in darkness, despair. They had not any idea what to do. There was a man by the name of Irving Berlin that had written a song in 1918 and had never been sung, never been performed, never been vocalized. It was called God Bless America. He pulled that out of his files when all of a sudden America is entering into its darkest hour. If you'll read the lyrics of God Bless America, the first part of God Bless America is a very solemn prayer. And then it gets into pointing our nation to God. And Kate Smith did a wonderful job in singing it back in 1938. But can I tell you that our government, according to Romans chapter 13 and verse 3, was given to be able to administer that which is punishment on the evil and to reward those that do good. The psalmist writes, as he says this, and I'll quote, though I'll not read it, but it talks about, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible talks about how you and I ought to understand that all blessings that we face, Thanksgiving's a wonderful time to be able to point people to this, Christmas is a wonderful time to be able to point people to this, how all the blessings that we have is because of God. We always ought to, you know, I don't know about you, but my dad had cancer. My dear mother had cancer. And it was because they were chronic smokers, and that's even what the doctors said. But you know, sometimes I'll be laying on the bed before I get up, and I'll take that deep breath. And there is no stoppage, there is no clogging, there is no struggle. And I'll take that deep breath and I'll just voice to God, God, thank you so much for allowing me to have that health. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I'm 54, but I have a lot of energy. I'm not restrained by any type of physical limitation. And can I tell you, I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for what God is. Now, by the way, you be sure to be able to understand that those blessings that God gives is truly from God. And as you do that, it'll change your very outlook on life. Because every day is a blessing from the Lord. Every day you get to spend with your wife or your husband or with your children. What a blessing from the Lord. Every day that you get to come to church, yes, on a rainy day, is a blessing from the Lord. I have some older friends that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are still preaching the gospel, that are still able to get out there and to do. Now, can I tell you, watch this, and the older you get, the more you look at stuff as being a blessing from the Lord. I met Mike Ray. We were preaching over in Cebu, Philippines, and I met him in the airport as we went down to pick him up. He looked at me, I looked at him, and here's what he says. He says, "We made it. We made it." I thought he was talking about a flight. I thought maybe the flight was rough. He said, "Man, we made it. We made it." I said, "Yeah, we made it. We're good." And he said, no. He said, "I got guys that are friends of mine dropping out of the ministry like flies." He said, "You're still in? I'm still in." He said, "Give me five." He said, "We made it." Now, can I tell you, you have to be an individual that understands the very blessedness of God. Why don't you go home and be thankful for something? Amen? Go home and thank God that God has given you all that God has given you. Come on, here we go. You ready? I was in church today, heard a bunch of kids sing. But they did a pretty good job. Well, I'm thankful for that. Amen. Hey, I drove in. Man, I hit a puddle. I don't know about you. I hit a puddle, probably two or three. But one that kind of took me a little bit off my beaten path. I didn't wreck. I didn't wind up in the gutter. You know, hey, boy, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. You ever do this? You ever see somebody else that has calamity? You see them, and you see them, and man, they're in the ditch somewhere or whatever. You know, they've already got help, but you ride past them and think, boy, I'm so thankful they weren't riding beside me. Jonathan got his license. I've told this before. We were going over to where he's getting his license, and he got his license, and man, it's going to be so good. I got another driver in the home. This is going to be wonderful. And so he got his license, and he got in the vehicle, and he drove. And can I tell you, I was so nervous. I never had him drive before. I was nervous. And I don't voice stuff a lot. I don't. I'm not one of these drivers that when somebody makes a wrong turn, I squeak. Or I make these weird sounds. Or I try to apply the brakes. Or I try and grab the wheel. Yeah, I don't do that. I'm just a very quiet type of guy. And so I'm sitting over there, and I'm just really quiet, you know, and I don't know why, but, man, it seemed like 3 years it was taking us to get back to the church where we lived, you know. And it's like 45 miles an hour, and the guy is driving 25. And that makes me more nervous because we're going to get killed. I mean, if somebody's going to rear end us, I'm going to fly out the front windshield, you know. But I didn't say anything. He's already nervous. I didn't want to add to his nervousness. But can I tell you, when I got out of that seat, I mean, I was sweating all the way down. I mean, sweat was rolling down my neck. And I looked at him. He was in the same shape. I mean, sweat's coming off the steering wheel. I mean, it was horrible. Now, I don't know how he drives today. I don't ride with him often. Okay? But I'm saying this. In every situation, whether it's a speedy situation, I've ridden with those type of people too, whether it's a moderately slow situation in your life, or whether it is something that is just absolutely slow beyond compare, you can thank God for all those things. Because God is giving you the privilege of Him dealing with you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.